け fly away 体中に広がるパノラマ駆け蹴られた地球が起こって火山を爆発させる
Hello and welcome to the S Words Podcast, a roundtable discussion about pop culture subjects beginning with the letter S. I'm Kevin Chu.
I'm Win Myun Kim.
I'm Michael Lee.
And I am Sung Lee.
All right, so this week our topic is Super Saiyans, trying to tie in with a certain movie that came out this past Friday. But mainly we're going to be talking about Dragon Ball itself and, you know, the culture surrounding it. And finally, near the end, we will be talking about our thoughts about the new movie that has been released. So let's go straight into the question we usually like to ask on the beginning of the show. When was the first time you experienced anything to do with Dragon Ball?
First time I had to do anything about Dragon Ball was way back in the early 90s, when people were still mailing around VHSs with fan subs on them. And I saw some random Dragon Ball movies because, you know, they were out, they were hot because they were Dragon Ball. And it's like, hey, watch this. All right, I'll trade you my Dungayo for it. And then there it went. You know, I saw a lot of fart jokes, a lot of people throwing fireballs. I'm like, all right, I guess that works. And then I found out there was a lot more to it. And then I found out that really no one cared about Z and the fun stuff was in Dragon Ball. So I went back to that.
The first time I saw Dragon Ball was actually Dragon Ball Z in the spring of 1993 in high school. Someone brought in during the lunch hour a Cantonese dubbed pirate movie, number 10. And so that was playing in the background while we were doing our usual playing cards, not really playing chess, that kind of thing that we did during lunch. And after that, I borrowed that tape from my friend and I watched it. And that was my first exposure to Dragon Ball.
My first exposure to Dragon Ball is a little more complicated. Back in 1990, my parents decided, hey, let's move to Korea. And so for seventh grade, I went to Korea and Dragon Ball was everywhere, literally everywhere. And so my first experience was, first of all, seeing people drawing it everywhere they could, and also being very confused because in Korea at the time, people were watching both the original series when he was a little kid and when he's an adult, pretty much at the same time, because this is during the Frieza series. And so I was very confused as to what the hell the story was going, like what was happening in the story. And also it was dubbed in Korean.
That would not really help you much, would it?
So for me, I actually didn't get into Dragon Ball for a while until, actually, this is why we have Mike and Sung here, because they actually were the ones that really actually got me to just say, okay, I'll finally read it. So I always thought, you know, about the Dragon Ball Z stuff, the powering up, big muscles, hitting each other a lot. And then Mike comes up to me and says, you know, Dragon Ball's really just about fart jokes, right? And I said, what? It's like, you know, when he's young and like, you know, he plays with dinosaurs and like Pat Pat and Puff Puff and all those different sound effects and all sorts of really crazy stuff. And I was like, no, I did not. So I picked up one of the first volumes of the manga. And actually, no, I picked up the first 5 volumes of the manga that had been released here. And I was like, hey, this is just for kids. There's a bunch of ridiculous and insensitive jokes in here.
Boobies.
So, boobs. I ended up reading those and I really liked it. And eventually, you know, I did end up reading the entire 42 volumes. Especially I liked Z's manga because most of it is them fighting, so it's mostly pictures, so you can read a volume in like 5 minutes.
Yeah. And you can skip most of it too.
Exactly. So yeah, that's exactly how I got into Dragon Ball. So, you know, a lot of it to me is with poop the young jokes. Goku stuff, so a lot of the poop and fart jokes kind of stuff. That's what I really, really liked. Also, you know, when like Arale shows up from Dr. Slump just randomly. Those kind of crazy things. So before we decided to record this episode, I had everyone pick out 3 of their favorite characters from the Dragon Ball universe. They can come from anywhere in the Dragon Ball universe. Yeah, I pretty much didn't have any restrictions. Dom, what are your top 3? Just name all 3 of them.
All right. Future Trunks, because when I was a kid, I thought he was the coolest thing ever. Krillin, because he's so pathetic. He's the Charlie Brown of Dragon Ball. Just always getting beaten up. Does he ever actually win once Z comes out?
He gets married. That counts as a win.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, that's true.
To the pig!
To the what? The pig? What?
Him and the pig were always, like, really married together. I mean, sorry, Oolong. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Actually, that's the thing is that if I'm remembering the ending of the first Dragon Ball series, right, it's Oolong who gets the wish, right?
Yes.
And he gets underwear. And that's
because
why
he's
Oolong
a jerk.
Is, And so the thing is that actually stuck around with me. And so Oolong is my third favorite character because he's so stupid.
You have both Krillin and Oolong?
Yes, because they're sad.
Mike?
My number three is Android 18. She's, you know, basically the only decent female fighter in the entire world.
Yeah.
My number two is Trunks from the future, specifically. And my number one favorite character is Piccolo.
Piccolo?
Yeah.
Really? Why?
He's just the cool, aloof character, and he just strikes me as being better than he lets on.
I'm kind of surprised. I didn't think anyone would pick Piccolo. Now Sung's going to be like, you
James
pick Piccolo too.
I picked Nail, Piccolo, and...
no, mine are very different. My number three is Vegeta, because he is pure-hearted in a completely different pure-hearted kind of way than Goku.
Face it, you really just like his Okonomiyaki song.
Yeah, that's you.
That too.
That's why Vegeta's my number four.
He's an honorable mention because Horikawa Ryo is pretty awesome.
All right, my number two is Lunch, because she is such a weird character.
I love Lunch.
for those of you who don't know about the original Dragon Ball, she is a very unusual character in that whenever she sneezes, her personality completely changes and she turns into a gun-toting freak. And also her hair changes color for some unknown reason. Anyways, and my number one favorite character is Gotenks.
Oh, really?
When they get it wrong or when they get it right?
Either one.
Okay.
just because like he's just like so overconfident and arrogant, and they're just really funny.
I didn't think to cheat and choose Fat Gotenks.
Fat Gogeta is also awesome.
Yes.
Because that's the only place where fart jokes get into Dragon Ball Z, really, is when they're Gogeta, the bad Gogeta.
All right, so for my three characters, I try to choose some really off-the-wall ones. So the Budokan announcer.
Yes.
Jackie Chun, which is really Master Roshi, but I just love whenever he's in that mode. And finally, King Kai's pet monkey, Bubbles.
Bubbles
just for the fact that he included a monkey named Bubbles. I don't even know if he's... is he named cricket? Bubbles in the Japanese series as well?
Yes.
Oh, well, there you Bubbles. Go. All right, those are my three. All
right.
So let's go into this. I mean, what are the stories that you remember the most from the young Goku times, from the times of Pat and things like that?
I may remember this wrong, though, because it was a story told me when I was watching it. And it's like, when Oolong, in the dub, as I recall, when Oolong wishes for the underwear, I heard him say, it's like, I wish for, what is it, eternal comfort? Something
the,
like that?
The world's most comfortable underwear.
Yeah, that's right. The world's most comfortable underwear. As opposed to, I think the original one is that he wishes just for women's underwear, right?
Yes.
Yeah, the world's most panties. Comfortable underwear.
And so that was
an issue where the dub just decided to get creative instead of having to go all sorts of stupid things like, oh, look, he destroyed the robotic helicopter. You know, that's creative censorship.
The dub actually worked on that because for the rest of that story, Oolong's wearing that pair of panties on his head. So it had to be comfortable.
It did. But yeah, that's the main one I remember is just Oolong being stupid.
I remember a lot of the training montages with Goku and Krillin and all the stupid things that Roshi had them do. God, what else? Vampires and werewolves.
Wait, wasn't there that one where, was that in the original Dragon Ball where it's like Krillin goes up against that guy who... just really smells bad.
Oh, yeah. His opponent, I believe, didn't bathe for like a few weeks so that his opponents had to, you know, cover up their noses and couldn't defend themselves properly. And so he would knock them out of the ring. And so Krillin's fighting him. He's like, oh God, I can't stand it. And then Goku shouts out, you can't smell him. You don't have a nose. And he says, oh, You're right.
And then he wins.
And he wins.
Because that's the era when Krillin could still win.
I remember that now.
It's just so stupid. It sticks in your head, right? That's pretty much all of Dragon Ball.
Song, what about you?
Well, this has a little to do with one of Mike's ones. And also, it kind of transitions in also into Dragon Ball Z in that every once in a while, Goku will have to go through these physical trials. Back from when he was training with Master Roshi to climbing the tower, and then in Dragon Ball Z when he has to go Snake Way, and then there's like the 100 times gravity training he does. Those to me I always remember.
You mean like the training room where if you train in there it's going to be like 100 years and outside will be like one day?
Those are kind of cheats, but yeah.
Snake Way was, I remember, being my least favorite of all of the Dragon Ball stuff. But that's because I never really went into the... I always fast-forwarded through the episodes that were just him powering up or them powering up.
Yeah, if you watch the anime for that sequence, it just dragged on.
Well, yeah, because it's just him running down path with nothing on it.
Yeah.
All right, for me, I kind of already jumped the gun. I already mentioned Pat-Pat and... well, I do. I also love the moments when Goku becomes the giant naked gorilla.
Yes,
I enjoy those. Anyways, let's go into what most people actually remember, which is when Goku finds out that he's actually an alien named Kakarot. I don't. And you know, we see Vegeta show up for the first time, and then really now things are changing for Dragon Ball. Nope. I think at this point is the new direction, right?
Yeah, the whole tone changes because it's Dragon Ball Z. It's
that starts Frieza, right?
It starts with Raditz.
I should bring up that in Japan, in the manga, there is no Dragon Ball Z. It's just all Dragon Ball.
It's just that you pretty much know when it became Z because the tone changes completely.
The anime is what dubbed it Z. And the Japanese did that, not the Americans, although the Americans followed that.
So, anyway.
Now that we're in Z territory, what do you remember from that? I mean, I remember when... Vegeta points the power meter thing at Goku, and it explodes.
I just remember that it stopped being so much fun, and so I stopped watching it once it hit Z, especially because I had to start fast-forwarding through episodes because nothing happened in them. Because they were waiting to catch up with the manga, wasn't it?
It went away from comedy and towards action.
Yeah.
As far as the show went.
And people being very constipated, or at least looking at...
See, I liked when that happened because I was reading it, and it just meant I could get through the books faster.
Yeah.
Yes. I remember a friend of mine who was a really big Dragon Ball fan. He was saying like, "Yeah, you know that whole 3-episode arc, that was one page in the manga."
Yeah.
Yeah. Dragon Ball.
I remember, you showed me that. There was like some sort of panel where Goku's doing the push-ups in the room.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, that's 10 episodes. I'm like, how? It's a frame. They don't even speak in the frame. Okay, let's talk about this. Out of once they got into Z, if you had to choose between Frieza, Cell, and Boo, which saga did you like more? I'm pretty sure no one's going to say Boo.
No.
But between Frieza and Cell, really.
Cell goes on for a long time, but the thing is that the reason I choose Cell is because of a story that goes on around Cell. Because guess what? He's Wakamoto Norio. Surprise! But the thing is that as the story goes, he would practice his Cell lines at his house, and the local kids heard him. And they would run up to his door and shout, "Cell, come out and fight us!" And because he's awesome, he would open up his door and in his Cell voice go, "Who is that? Who wants to be drained?" And just because of that story, I choose Cell.
Wow.
Because just think about that. You know, imagine if you lived next door to, Mark Hamill. And he was practicing his Joker voice, you know, and you could hear it. And all the kids went, "Oh, it's the Joker!" And he came out, with the Joker voice. And heck, what if he had Joker makeup on? How awesome would that be?
Just randomly having Joker makeup
on. But how awesome would that be?
Cutting his lips and stuff.
No, not cutting his lips.
It'd be a little creepy.
Just a little.
But I mean, how awesome would that be? It would be pretty awesome.
For me, probably the Cell arc. It brings Gohan fully into the spotlight, honestly. It's what the series had been building to at that point. Passing on the protagonist role from Goku to Gohan. at the end of it.
Except that that didn't really stick, did it?
No, because they wanted to make more money.
Yeah.
For me, it's I'm going to cheat a bit and say I liked parts of each of them. The first one, Frieza, I thought was probably the best overall story-wise. And then Cell, I like mostly because of Gohan. The Boo series, just because at that point, all the main characters are so ridiculously overpowered that even, like, the gods of the gods, like, what the hell is wrong with these people?
when did they do the machine that measures your strength?
Oh,
and then
that,
Vegeta
that's,
destroys
that's
it.
The beginning Boo.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
I think that's the only thing I like about the Boo saga.
Machine that measures your strength.
Yeah, yeah. They have this machine that you punch it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
To qualify to enter the Tenkaichi Budokai.
Yeah, that's...
So there's a punch strength machine. And so they're all, you know, hold back, hold back. And it's like, you know, 500 or whatever, whereas Saturn was 90 something.
Yeah. And then Vegeta, being as he is, he doesn't really...
He doesn't hold back.
He doesn't hold back, and he just destroys
the machine. Right, I remember that now.
I have to say, I like the Frieza. I think it's also a matter of whether you watched it or you read it.
Yeah, that's
For
true.
Me, Cell went like a long time. And I do like that they did do the Gohan story, but Frieza for me was when I thought, hey, actually, you know, this Z kind of era stuff is... I can enjoy this. It's fast paced, and
it could have ended after Frieza.
Yeah, it could have just ended there.
They wanted
From
more money.
What I know is that's what Akira Toriyama wanted to do was end it at Frieza,
and then he wanted to end it at the Cyborgs, and then he wanted to end it at Cell, and then he wanted to end it at Boo,
and then he did end it with Boo. Excellent.
And then they made Dragon Ball GT without his permission.
Him. Yes.
Yeah.
And then he said that he wished that they continued on with it.
Did he?
Yeah, that's what he said.
I heard that he said.
I'm not sure. I can't verify that.
All right.
All right. So I want to talk a little bit about the characters here. So one of the main things that's cool about Dragon Ball is the way they've named all the characters.
And by cool, you mean horrible?
I think it's cool.
I think it's cool, but you think it's horrible because you hate puns.
Well, they're not even puns.
They're categories.
They're just categories.
I love categories.
Words. It's like if I named all of my characters Rock and Fishcake and Scarecrow. Not like anybody would do that, right? Or Dolphin.
But if you're Japanese, it sounds very exotic.
It does, actually.
So, I mean, come on. We've had food ones. We've had
boobs.
Lunch.
Lunch.
Underwear.
Kakarō, which is actually really carrot. Vegeta.
Which is vegetable.
What is it?
Raditz. Was Brawly supposed to be broccoli?
Yeah.
Broccoli.
Okay, because I always thought it was just Brawly, as in, you know, brawling.
But his father
was Paragus.
Toriyama didn't create him.
What?
So Akira Toriyama didn't create him.
Oh, okay.
His father was Paragus. Asparagus.
Right.
We had all of Bulma's family be named after...
Underwear.
Yeah, including Bra, which I think what did they change her name to in the American one?
They didn't.
They kept it as Bra?
They pronounced it Bura.
Oh, Bura. Okay.
Which is why they didn't say Bloomer, it's Bulma.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. What about also Piccolo with all his instruments? I remember when he created those monsters.
Like
one
flute?
Of them is drum, but
yeah,
what's the
one
other
one
called?
Drum.
Piano, drum, cymbal, tambourine.
Tambourine?
I thought flute was one of them.
I don't have it in my list here.
Oh, all right.
Am I missing any other categories here? I feel like I'm missing one more.
The Ginyu Force?
Oh, yes. Ginyu Force. What's that? Please explain.
They're a five-man band, and they are all named after dairy products.
Because Ginyu, you see, is based on Gyunyu, which is the Japanese word for milk.
And then there's Rikum, you scramble that up and you get cream. Bata, you change the emphasis of the A and it becomes butter. Gurudo is yogurt. And that's all five. Oh, Jisu, cheese.
Cheese.
My
arch nemesis.
And any other like crazy, like silly kind of things that Akira Toriyama has thrown in there? I mostly remember the names growing up at random.
There's the Majin.
There's oh, that's true.
Majin.
Oh yeah, Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo.
Majin Bobbidi.
Majin Boo. Yeah.
So we know Dragon Ball is kind of in this gigantic merchandising giant. I actually haven't bought that many things that are Dragon Ball related, except for maybe like a few figurines. But I mean, what other stuff have you seen out there? I mean. We're talking about Star Wars levels of merchandising here.
Yeah, well, a lot of it's old now, you know. It's been a while since a lot of it was out.
That is true.
Like, for people who, say, grew up in Korea, these are things that were around, like, 20 years ago as opposed to, you know, like, 10 years ago for American audiences.
Wall Scrolls.
Yeah. I still have some Wall Scrolls of Dragon Ball. But, yeah, pretty much any and every merchandising possible, like, it's almost Hello Kitty level.
Yeah, that's actually true.
Or Sanrio level is more accurate.
I mean, like, they just put Dragon Ball logos on everything that you could think of. You know, lunchboxes and pencil cases and pens, pencils, bed sheets. Not sexy bed sheets, by the way, just plain bed sheets. I feel like I have to clarify this, since sexy bed sheets are more of a modern thing. None of you are talking. Why aren't you talking?
Because you're digging a hole for yourself. You don't want to get in your way.
I'm wondering, what are you talking about?
Good. Stay that way.
Okay. What else can we... Like, okay. There's the extra shows like GT. And there's the extra movies. And all the extra filler crap in the anime like Garlic Jr. in between.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about this?
Not really.
Besides movie 12, which is some of the best movies.
Which one was movie 12? Was that the one with...
The Fusion.
Oh, yeah, the one where you get fat Gogeta.
Yes.
That is the most funny one. And also the ice that can only be cracked by swearing at it.
Yes. I like the fact that Paikuhan is reduced to swearing through the whole movie.
Yeah, that's all he does the entire movie is
he swears. That's his contribution.
And I'll just say that all of the movies, whenever they introduce a new character in the movies, that is not created by Akira Toriyama.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and also you have... Gohan punching Frieza and him Frieza blowing up in that movie as well.
Oh yeah, just to show how overpowered they become.
And then
it's like,
ha,
I'm Freezer.
Okay. One other thing that I want to go over with Dragon Ball. So the main thing about Dragon Ball is the influence it's had on other things that came afterwards. The easiest for me is just when we take a look at Sega's release of Sonic the Hedgehog 2. We know if you double tap the jump, you can turn into Super Sonic, which is basically just a parody of Sonic being Super Saiyan from Dragon Ball. But what other things have we seen in culture that have really lifted from Dragon Ball? And I can say, like, you can go as far as even like other, you know, Jump series, even other manga series that totally have stolen from Dragon Ball. Miho is really excited.
What does she want?
Bankai?
Miho would like to point out that the whole thing about, I used to be a villain, but you've defeated me, so I'm going to be your rival from now on. Totally with Dragon Ball.
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Really? With Vegeta.
Oh, the Nanoha thing. Effect?
Huh.
It's not the Nanoha effect, it's the Vegeta effect.
That's right, you haven't seen Nanoha.
Was it Piccolo before Vegeta who did that?
Yeah, Piccolo did it first.
Oh, okay,
Piccolo
sorry. It was the, the Piccolo effect.
What's that sound? Nerd points down.
Vegeta was cooler anyway. I'm like calling it the Vegeta effect.
You know what? Before Piccolo, there was Tenshinhan.
That's true.
But Tenshinhan's lame and Piccolo's
before
lame.
Before Tenshinhan was Krillin.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sticking with Vegeta because he was the coolest of those.
I thought I got it right with the Piccolo thing. Now I feel like an idiot.
What was that sound, Kevin?
Tractor beams down. Do you hear that? Nah, that's nothing.
Danny would like to point out Yamcha.
Yeah. Who was before Tenshinhan?
Yes. No, and he was before Krillin as well. Krillin.
Well, we know who's won this battle.
It's
technically Bulma shot Goku first.
Bulma shot first.
Damn, I can't think of anything before that. That's pretty much it.
Oh, yeah, well, Dr. Schlum, so there.
There's such a thing as the, I can't think of the exact wording of it, but basically it's the Jump story, where it's basically just Dragon Ball, but with different characters. And
oh, yeah, the tournament storyline?
Well, and also, you know, like Miho was saying, the enemy, the rival enemy who becomes a friend.
Kie?
And... It's just so true for so many different jump titles that it's just a given pretty much if you have a jump title that you're going to have these certain threads that are all from Dragon Ball.
Yeah, pretty much. And then there was that weird moment in Tenjo Tenge where he just decides to go blonde for no reason, right? No, he does the opposite. And they mention that. He goes from being blonde to being black-haired. And they explicitly say, it's like, that's the opposite of Dragon Ball.
Okay, so Miho has just wanted to let us know that there's some special eye drops that were created that are, I guess, Dragon Ball eye drops that help kids not get red eyes when they swim in a chlorinated pool. So that is an extent of Dragon Ball merchandising right there. I don't think they've ever had that for Star Wars. I don't think they ever thought of that for Star Wars.
But if they had thought of it, they would totally have done it.
Yeah.
Well, that's also partly because of Japanese obsessions with eye drops.
What is this obsession with eye drops? I've never understood. Like, they just use them a lot? Like,
yes. All women carry eye drops.
For what? If their eyes get dry, or?
And also if they want to fake crying.
Really?
Like Campus Gardens.
Really?
That's from a show called Bakuen Campus Gorgeous, which is hilarious.
It is hilarious.
I've seen that. What am I talking about?
It was so stupid.
But it was awesome.
It was awesome. As we've mentioned before, or we will mention later, what is it? Stupid plus awesome equals decent. All right. So what else are we going to say?
Any other things about the influence of Dragon Ball's stories, characters, anything, and culture? I mean, yeah, you can clearly say that a lot of Jump took a lot of ideas from what Dragon Ball established. I'm saying established, not created.
No, just established.
Established.
Well, because it was so popular, it reached such a wide audience. Yeah, it would be the one seen as being the establishing force behind a lot of these tropes, a lot of these ideas. And
because everybody saw it as a kid. Yeah. I know a lot of American voice actors who actually got their start because at their fraternity or wherever they were in college, they would watch Dragon Ball on Saturday mornings and they'd be like, man, I can act better than that. And then they would do it. And then like, hey, you should go pro with that. And then they did. There are a couple of them like that. I can't remember the names off the top of my head, though. But anyway, Mike, sorry.
I was just going to say that because of the time differential between when it aired in Japan and in Asia and then it was brought over to North America, there's actually been a feedback kind of loop. It brought Dragon Ball back into the public eye in Japan because of the demand in North America. I'm thinking specifically of the video games, which were created by American companies and then had to be redubbed for the Japanese
market.
The Atari
games, right?
And
Budokan.
And so They came out with a new Dragon Ball game, you know, just a few years ago in Japan. So it was like the first new Dragon Ball anything that popular.
The Super Famicom or Super Nintendo, if you want to call it. I was in Korea, so it was Super Famicom. But yeah, I played a lot of those old Dragon Ball games that really didn't play very well.
No, they were pretty terrible.
Yeah. But they sold because they had the name.
Yep.
Yes. Yep. So I'm like, you know, you're mentioning about the fact that this reinterest in Dragon Ball in North America kind of brought it back to Japan.
Yeah, they actually have a remake in Japan.
Exactly. So I was going to say, let's go into the final topic that we were going to talk about, which is Kai, which is the high definition remake in widescreen.
And the Japanese don't like it that much.
Well, I mean, okay, you were explaining this to me, but can you bring up those points again that you were talking about for our listeners?
So this is all taken secondhand, but among other things, in the opening sequence, they just get a lot of things plain wrong. Like, a lot of the staff, their names are written wrong in the credits, and they're like, this isn't really, like, promising for our favorite show of our childhoods. And then, let me check it. I actually got it from a site called Sankaku Complex, which is totally not safe for work, but it talked about Dragon Ball Kai, so it was safe for work for this one. Problems with they spell the word paradise wrong. They spell the names of the staff. Well, they write the names of the staff wrong because it's in Japanese. Like, a lot of these shots just look bad in the remastered stuff. And, yeah, so, you know, there's a lot of people who are just going, you know what, I would probably have watched the old stuff over again rather than see it getting massacred.
But it looks bad in HD.
Does it look bad in HD?
Well, you're saying it looks bad. But it's in HD.
That's true, it's in HD. All right. So anyway, yeah.
I mean, how many other series can you say did this? I think this is the only one so far, right?
The one that got remastered.
I get this feeling that someone's going to do it with Sailor Moon down the line, but...
Evangelion did it.
Oh, that's right. But on DVD, they didn't rebroadcast on TV. And then they did the movies.
No, they did rebroadcast it.
They did rebroadcast. Oh. After the movies, I think.
But this is before the time of HD.
Yeah.
But it's not an HD. It's just a remastered edition.
Yeah, they just remastered it.
Well, you know what's coming next.
The HD broadcast, obviously, for Evangelion, yeah.
And then the bare-bones high-definition Blu-ray release, followed by the special edition high-definition Blu-ray release, and then the box set, including the movies and figurine.
Because God knows you can never make enough money off of Evangelion.
Yep. They're still going strong.
Yes. George Lucas should look into making a movie about Evangelion.
That's a stupid idea. I hope you never mention this again. Okay, moving on. Actually, so Kai's released. You know, they're going to go for 100 episodes, but they're only doing the Z stories, correct?
Pretty sure, yeah. Then they're starting with Z.
Okay, well, I guess that's going to go on for about 2 more years. So we'll find out how everything works out with that in the end. But any last things you want to talk about for the Dragon Ball that you know and love before we talk about the movie? The live-action North American movie.
That movie that I don't know and don't love.
Well, that's why you're tagging out.
Yeah, Daddy's going to take the heat for me on this one.
All right.
Daddy, get ready.
I think we're done.
This is about
Mike
the Japanese
is magically
stuff.
Going to morph into Danny.
It's morphin' time. Danny Dactyl.
All right. So we're going to leave you with a little song that we know and love, sung by a very cool Mr. Vegeta. And then we'll be right back with our thoughts on the new live-action Hollywood movie version of Dragon Ball.
にはさまだ人参野郎人間みてえなその名前全くふざけた野郎だぜ貴様の苦味には酷がねえだがそれも今の俺には通用しねえさあゆっくりと皮を剥いでバキバキに刻んでやるぜ。おお、次は豚肉だ。いいツヤしてるじゃねえか。新鮮な野郎を見ると胸が高鳴ってきやがるぜ。さあ、パワーを集中させ 200g 一気に細切りだ。 山芋に挑戦だ。でこぼこしやがって化けの皮ひんむいてやるぜ。スリスリスリスリバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバンバ
ぐちゃぐちゃに。 めっちゃくちゃに混ぜ合わせ、あとは鉄板の上でじっくり焼き上げてやるだけさ。ソースに青のりおかかでとどめだ。どうだ参ったか。お好み焼きバトルもさあ口を大きく開けて、これでいただきだぜ。おっといけねえ、マヨネーズも忘れんじゃねえぜ。
All right, so we're back, and now you've reached the point in the show that we've truly been excited about, and we did it for you, listeners. We went and saw Dragon Ball Evolution.
In a theater.
In a theater.
On opening night.
Yep, on a Friday night. Three guys going to see Dragon Ball on Friday night, right before Easter. So, what did you guys think? Because I think we all have very differing opinions, and I think you might be surprised by what we're about to say.
So here's the thing is that, other than the first 15 minutes, the Dragon Ball live-action movie is pretty faithful to the Dragon Ball spirit. I mean, there's a balls joke. They just get into fights for no good reason. You know, and Chow Yun-Fat just doesn't care. He just doesn't care. And so I kind of enjoyed it on that really bad, like, C-movie level. Not even B-movie. Maybe a D-movie. What do you think, Kevin?
I put it on a B-movie level,
B?
Actually.
Okay.
Yeah, but so, actually, Danny, what are your thoughts?
So here's the thing. I have what you would call a very low threshold of entertainment. And I also have a very low bar for adaptation movies. That bar, by the way, is the Mario Brothers movie. This is pretty much the very definition of damning with faint praise. But this was, in fact, better than the Mario Brothers movie. And it was bad enough to be funny. I mean, that's all I really asked for in the movie.
That's all we had to ask for because this movie was pretty bad.
Yeah, for me, I went into this movie with very, very, very low expectations.
And although
it met them, it also had some amusing parts that kind of bumped it up for me a bit, too. Like the stuff with Chow Yun-Fat, even though he's nothing like Master Roshi, he was funny. And he really invoked the spirit. And seeing Emma Rossum try and act tough and, you know,
what's she from, anyway?
What's it called? Day After Tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Oh. What a great movie!
And also the Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, that's where she's from.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
She's Christine.
Okay, so I'm going to have to take off my Criterion Collection, you know, Fellini cap.
Yeah.
And put on my Short Circuit 2 is a great movie cap. I loved most of this movie.
The first 15 minutes were pretty bad, though, right?
I think the first 15 minutes is on the level of if they wanted to merge the idea of Dragon Ball with Bring It On.
Yeah.
And then they decided to just go with they wanted to do with Dragon Ball. Now, the best thing about this movie is that they don't care about the Z universe very much. There's a lot more focus on the original Dragon Ball stories, except that Goku is not a little boy making fart jokes. He's a teenager. Being really awkward and going on the little adventure to find, you know, all the Dragon Balls. We don't see Vegeta in this. In fact, the furthest we get really is with just Piccolo. And I liked that they kept it that way. I really thought that the marketing was emphasizing this super serious, this is 20th Century Fox macho toughness movie. And what we got was
A ball joke.
What we got was a movie that, you know, I can understand is produced by Stephen Chow. And I had a huge grin on my face the entire time. I was smiling like an idiot. There were so many things where I was like, this fits so well with the Dragon Ball I know and love, even though it's not a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, the way I saw it was taking the original Dragon Ball story and kind of grafting it onto Gohan's story as a teenager.
Oh, yeah.
Which is basically where they got all the school stuff of him trying not to fight anyone.
Trying not to kick everybody's
ass.
And
being a big nerd, basically.
Yeah, well.
That's Saiyaman, though.
Yeah, he should have had a secret identity.
Oh, that would be so awesome. If they had him wear the helmet or the cape.
And the sunglasses.
Oh, my God. But I love these little touches they added, like they did in the beginning. They had him fight with his grandfather, and, you know, His famous staff is there, even though it's a brief kind of moment.
Yeah.
They have the... They included the whole him turning into a naked gorilla kind of thing, but except not really...
He wasn't naked.
And not really that big. They didn't include any of that, like, you know, he has the tail, or he flies around in the cloud. But, Sung, I gotta ask you, because you probably know the Dragon Ball story the most. That first... those first 16 volumes, they pulled a lot from there. Like they had the clones of Chi Chi fighting each other. They had Drum and whatever other minions that Piccolo was able to conjure up.
It was a big mix of everything, because the whole morphing thing with Mai was more Oolong. Because Oolong can shapeshift.
Yes, yes.
So what it was little bits of here and there and also them referencing things from Z, like the Nemics and things like that.
So I have to ask this out of everybody. So who was the worst actor in that? Because James Marsden did pretty badly.
Justin Chatwin
was really bad.
He was.
Emma Rossum was pretty bad, too.
I had no problems with anyone but Justin Chatwin. Emily Rossum? Yeah. She's fine. She's just doing what... She was probably told.
She did the best she could.
Given the material.
I know there was that terrible scene with Yamcha that you absolutely hated. But even so, like, you know, the whole, like, the love stuff between her and Yamcha anyways in the manga is just as ridiculous to
me. That's actually true, yeah.
My main problem with Justin Chatwin is that he kind of doesn't understand he's in a movie. It feels like everything that's happening to him, he's just then reacting. Or even then, just then realizing he's supposed to react, but then he doesn't react at all. He feels very much like the new Keanu Reeves.
Especially when, there were two scenes. There was one where he was trying to tell Chow Yun-Fat that the grandfather was dead, and he's like, Gohan is dead. And that's pretty much how he delivers it. And then, what scene was I talking about? Where Chow Yun-Fat dies, right? Where just his face.
Oh, and then he puts his... You gotta watch this when it happens. They pan the camera, and then you see Goku run up to Master Roshi, and he's like, no, he's dead. So what he does is he gets down on the ground, and he puts his head down, right? But then his forehead is basically where Chow Yun-Fat's crotch is.
Yeah.
And you can easily see they move the camera really quickly away from there.
I'd like to point out, I don't remember that at all.
That's why we should go see it again.
Yeah.
No.
I just remember when Gohan dies, and we're not talking about Goku's son. We're talking about his grandfather, who Goku named his son after. But when he dies, you know, spoiler, I guess.
Oh no.
Whatever. You know, that's also really bad acting on his part, too.
Yeah.
And also,
there's an entire scene after that where he waters the plants in a sad way.
Oh, yes.
It's like, what's the point of this scene?
Yeah, and also whenever he's trying to focus his ki, he just doesn't know how to even make it look remotely convincing. Even though it's not obviously, but he just knows that it's stupid, and well, you can basically see it in the way he acts, that he's like, I don't know what this means.
Do you like how he walks through every corridor with one fist at his right side and then his, like, chop at the left? Like, this is going to prepare him. I was like, what is this? That's, like, in the first 10 minutes. So, you know, your faith is kind of, like, wavering at that point.
Your faith is really low.
I would
especially
like
where he tries to wisecrack.
I would like to also point out that several scenes with Chi-Chi, and especially one when they find her training up in the mountains, for some random reason, she has a sports, it's like a sports bra kind of thing going on. It has a zipper in the front. It's not zipped all the way up. It's intentionally like
there was
pretty
a pile
much
of it.
All the way down.
Yeah. The entire like, movie was pretty
whoa,
much...
Whoa, what?
The entire movie was pretty much... Cleavage shots for the
well, I mean,
cast.
Well, yeah. No, the original intention is that 12 to 14 year old boys are supposed to be watching this movie.
Oh yeah,
I mean, yes, but they didn't need the zooms. I can extrapolate.
You need the zooms. What are
no,
you
no,
talking
I didn't
about?
Need. I didn't need the camera zoom lens. directly on those things.
Well, there were so many scenes of what, it was like Tamara Eriko as Mai, right?
Yeah.
Where she was just like looking up and the camera was looking down at her.
Down at her cleavage.
At the window.
It's just like, there just needed to be more underwear, apparently, and then this really would have been Dragon Ball.
So
people here know what Chi-Chi means, right? People who listen to this podcast, because it means breasts.
Oh, that is true.
Yes.
I just realized maybe that is why they wanted to do that the entire time.
You didn't notice us busting out when she said, just because my name is Chi-Chi doesn't mean I'm an idiot. We just would not shut up about that for the rest of that scene, I think.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, that's also because that scene was so terrible.
That helped, I'll admit.
With Justin Chatwin he was even bad at trying to act awkward.
Oh, I do want to mention, I love the scene where he puts the hair gel on.
His hair
goes back to the natural spiky one.
Yeah, so he slicks back his hair, he gets the toothpick to try to look like, you know, old school Chilean fat. And at which point, his hair just flips back into place, and all the gel that was in his hair just gets sprayed onto the mirror.
It's really stupid.
Oh, but the one thing about his hair was during the Piccolo fight, when he gets hit by the blast and you see him get up, and suddenly he has the Goku hair. that I really enjoyed.
What did you guys like the final fight with Piccolo? Because
no.
I thought it was terrible.
It was really bad.
It was probably the worst part of the movie to me.
Really? Even worse than the opening school part?
No, I love the opening school part because it's so terrible. I mean, the actual final fight with Piccolo is just kind of like, it's just them cheaping out. I mean, even the scene where Goku becomes the gorilla monster, when he turns himself back, they're playing the scene backwards. We will
really?
Confirm upon DVD release, but I am fairly
certain. You're actually
going to
buy this DVD?
We will confirm upon a DVD release. Whether or not it actually is a direct backwards loop, because it looks totally like it.
Yeah.
Like, his facial expression is exactly the same.
Well, that's because he only has, like, 3 facial expressions.
Confused and more confused. And where am I?
Angry
I'll say
confused.
One thing,
confused.
Which is, for a main bad guy in a fight doing key blasts, Piccolo moved around way too much. It's just stand there, hold out your arm, and then just move it, and then just fire like crazy. That's the way you're supposed to do it.
Well, it was just so bad in the way that he had to fly around everywhere, and he just had to pose his arms as if he was flying, and he just got... Was he even being flung around on wires? Or was
Probably
just,
not.
Or was he just being moved on CG in the background?
He was just standing there in front of
the
green screen.
The green screening was pretty bad, actually, in this movie.
It was really bad.
Especially when they're in cars or on the motorcycles or whatever.
Yeah. The one amusing green screen was that random scene at the beginning where he sees Chi-Chi and starts fantasizing about her.
Oh my God. That was surprisingly well done, yes.
Surprisingly well done. Where suddenly, like, the windows of the school turn
like
into
the,
a
yeah,
field full of flowers,
away.
And the wall gives
oh,
away.
And you know exactly where they're going with the strawberry. How can you not like that part? The high school stuff is gold.
It's comedy gold, but it's not comedy gold in the way that, like, any other Stephen Chow comedy movie is gold. It's gold in the way that, like, we watch Gymkhana.
So I have to say, I really think that they knew kind of what they were doing with this film. It's too bad they're going to definitely lose money on this. There's no way this is going to make back even the $80 million they put up front for it.
They put $80 million in this
movie?
Well,
let me ask you, because I went to a different showing than the rest of these guys. How many people were in your theater?
Like 15?
20? There was a whole group of like a dozen really awesome people like cheering
yeah.
and like laughing at
yeah.
everything.
We knew exactly what they were getting into, same as us.
Yeah.
Except they brought
okay,
our lunch group.
I also saw it with 2 other people, but in our theater there was probably around 10 people total.
No one said anything the entire time.
Yeah, they were pretty quiet.
All right.
That ain't right.
That's a painful experience probably. That's probably what will change your experience watching this movie is probably who you see it with
and how much
drunk
alcohol
you
is,
are.
Yeah, how much alcohol is in your system.
All right, any last thoughts on the Dragon Ball movie? I think I was surprised. I was very surprised after how really poorly surprised I was by the movie that will not be named.
I knew exactly what we were getting into. I still had a few moments where I just put my head in my hands. But overall, I don't regret going to the movie. I kind of regret going to the movie which will not be named. But this one, you know, I got some laughs out of it. We got some laughs out of it. It was bad enough to be good again.
The casting, well, I went there. I like to think that my ticket helped pay for Chow Yun-Fat's paycheck. It's how it gets me through the day.
Because Chow Yun-Fat needs money.
It's not that he needs money, but, you know, he might as well make some more.
Yeah, the saving grace, I think, for this movie was that they had so much material to draw from that even though all the actors didn't really pull it off, there was enough distraction from that to make it entertaining.
All right, so I want to mention one last thing that almost made me explode in my pants. At the end of the movie, you see an extra clip, and it's of this one chick walking down this corridor.
I turned to Dom, I said,
if what I hope happens, this will elevate the movie so much. It didn't happen, but no. Man, were you guys thinking that it might happen, that we might just find some spaceship crash land and a guy would step out, you'd see him wearing a little green visor, and then you'd just be like, this saved the entire movie.
I would have loved that, but no, unfortunately, you get to see this woman who you saw get shot earlier in the movie making Chinese medicine and then walking very slowly to bad music.
Which is actually one digression to the original comic that I didn't really like, in that in the original comic, Goku's fight with Piccolo dies. And the Piccolo that most everyone knows from the Dragon Ball Z is not Piccolo, it's Piccolo Jr.,
yep.
Piccolo's son.
Which is also why he's more reluctant to kill Goku-ish. More reluctant-ish.
I really wish it had been Vegeta. Heck, I wouldn't have cared if it was, like, Krillin. Anybody but Piccolo again, because James Marsters does not make a good villain.
You mean,
he barely gave him anything to do.
And he was still bad at it.
And also, being a big Buffy Angel fan, there are some brief, albeit moments of me just going, wow, that is Spike. Right there.
Yeah, there were a couple of those.
Did you like when he was sitting in the chair and they extracted his blood?
That screaming. Was kind of lame. Yeah. But nope. For those Buffy fans, he does have the Spike swagger at one point.
You know, it's my personal hope that there are people out there who don't know that much about Dragon Ball who were watching this and, you know, watch regular TV too, and are watching the part at the end about Goku, you know, finding out who he is, and saying to themselves, man, this is such a Smallville ripoff. If you're not familiar with the storyline in Smallville, it's basically similar to, you know, Kal-El landing on the Earth, but instead of, you know, Krypton being, you know, the sort of last vestiges of a relatively peaceful civilization, he was sent basically as a conqueror.
Huh. Because he would be Smallville super did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
And also the people who say that Watchmen stole it all from Heroes.
What?
Yeah.
There are people on the internet who believe that.
So it's my personal hope that there's somebody out there who believes this.
Remember that time machine we were talking about last week?
Yes.
That's what they did.
All right.
Freaking Alan Moore went forward in time. Stole Heroes, brought it back. Chris Claremont did that too.
Yes.
Wait, what am I talking about? Stan Lee did that too.
Stan Lee. And now Akira Toriyama did it? Oh, man.
He did it with Trunks. He stole the time machine.
That's what he did. He came here, he saw Smallville, he saw Heroes, he saw Smallville, and then went back and made Dragon Ball.
Yeah, all right. Okay, so should we wrap this one up?
All right, let's wrap this one up. Next week, I am out of town. So, Dom, I believe you are holding a secret show.
Yes.
This is for secret.
Yep.
So Mr. Dom will be hosting by himself with other guest hosts, and that will be a secret topic. Anyways, if you want to send us any email or comments, feedback@s-words-podcast.com. Check out the website at www.s-words-podcast.com. We're also on Twitter, twitter.com/s_words.
And by we, I mean me.
Yep. And we'd also like to thank you for the iTunes reviews you have left for us. And don't forget, we also have the Facebook group. I think it's been a while since anyone's posted there, so let's make it happen, people. Anyways, Let's lead off with the quote sound off. Mr. Dom.
Fusion!
I see parachutes. They're okay.
Home for infinite losers.
Dragon, dragon, rock the dragon.
Dragon,
Dragon Ball Z!
This is when you play the Vegeta song about cooking, Kevin.
About cooking okonomiyaki.
Don't forget the mayonnaise.
It's not don't forget. It's like, oh crap, forgot the mayonnaise.